Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the future of the book. And where does a local bookstore fit in this modern future of the book? We've already seen that the Borders chain of bookstores, they went under. Barnes & Noble's trying to figure out how they're going to stay competitive. What about the local independent book dealer? In this half hour, we're going to continue our conversation about how they are going to continue to be awesome and be available. Joining me to talk about that is Claudia Maceo. She's the manager of the Twig Bookshop here in San Antonio. And on the phone from Dallas, Kathy Doyle Thomas. She's the Executive Vice President of Half Price Books. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Good being here.
And we invite your calls. If you got questions about how things are going with the local bookstore, give us a call, 614-8980, 614-8980. Do you still make a point of going to the local bookstore to get your books? Do you think that's an important facility to keep operational and that you're willing to make that trip to keep it going? Or do you find special services at the local bookstore that you don't think you can find anywhere else? Please give us a call, 614-8980. So Kathy Doyle Thomas, Executive Vice President of Half Price Books, you have an interesting model. Tell us about how you make it work.
Well, I mean, Half Price Books, we have, we have four San Antonio locations, and we sell used books that we buy back from the public, and we sell overstock from publishers, as well as selling, we just started selling New York Times bestsellers because our customers would come to the store and looking for the current Stephen King novel or Patterson novel, and we couldn't offer it to them. So now we've just recently changed our merchandise mix and started offering to them.
And that's at the list price?
Yeah, 20% off the retail instead of most of our other used copies are 50 off retail.
Now, do you see a problem with your business model in the future as we see this continual climb of people who are getting e-readers and getting and downloading their books?
Well, I think that, Half Price Books, we had a customer research survey done a couple of years ago, and basically our competitor is not Barnes & Noble. Our competitor is Amazon. Our customers go online, order books for 99 cents, off Amazon, and then they come in and buy books from us. So we really, when you were talking about being the destination, being where somebody wants to hang out and come and find books, that's real important to us. And we all of us booksellers that have retail outlets need to do that. We need to be a great place for someone to come and browse, and basically for you to get out of your pajamas and get in the car and come shop us. I think that we are all seeing, with Borders going out of business and Barnes & Noble downsizing, that people, are finding it easy to go online and order books, and they're also, I talked to a publisher a few weeks ago, and I was asking, so how many of your books are e-readers? And, are in the e-reader format and, based on sales. And he said about 20%. So, that means that it could be that up to 20% of our customers are using e-readers and they're not shopping anymore. I mean, our study shows that people have both. I mean, a bunch of our customers do have e-readers and they use them and they have their iPad that they read books on when they travel. But they love coming in and getting the printed word as well.
Our phone lines are open, and the number is 614-8980. Let's go to the phones. Renee is joining us. Renee, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right, go ahead, Renee.
Well, I guess everyone does have a point in talking about Amazon offering a cheaper discounted price, but, I've been going to bookstores with my parents since I was younger, and there's something romantic about going into a bookstore and being able to find something that you didn't know existed. I'm also a DJ, and I do shop for records online. However, there's nothing quite like going into a record store and finding what it is that you were looking for. And Half Price Books really offers a lot. Me and my wife live south of downtown, and we'd actually like to see more in the area. But you're right about Barnes & Noble, Borders going out of business and Barnes & Nobles. But I think really, as far as books and the e-readers, I guess it just depends on how you're wired. I've tried online textbooks through Kindle Fire, and it just doesn't quite work out for me. But my brother, he goes through e-readers like nobody's business. So I guess it just depends.
All right. Thank you for that call, Renee. We appreciate it. So let me ask you, Claudia Maceo, manager of the Twig Bookshop in San Antonio. The Twig, of course, is a long established bookstore, a fixture in the city. And do you find that all similar, that people, they go to the Twig? Is it a destination that they want to experience, not just, you know, hang out in your PJs and download books?
They can come in their PJs if they want to. We welcome them. But we have had a great experience evolving over 40 years. The Twig has been around since about 1972, and we've moved several times. At one time we had several branches, if you will, of the Twig.
I remember when y'all were behind the Alamo.
There's been some on Twig on Blanco and 410 and the Colonnade and on Broadway two different times, and you can still see the chandelier from the previous Twig on Broadway hanging in the new space at the Pearl Brewery. It is an evolution. We're constantly seeing people come in and they remark over and over again about the personal experience they have with a book. There are people who do shop the shelves and right there in the store are ordering online, but we are pushing more
that's
and more.
That's so gauche.
That's the word
wait,
I was thinking.
Can't you wait till you get outside at least?
But it doesn't happen that often. People by far remark about the personal experience. They talk about the way that we connect stories in our store. We're connecting our own stories. We're connecting stories that are bound in books. It's personal. And I like that romantic notion of it as well. We provide books that we are listening very, very carefully to our customers to know how to inform us on what to order. We like to say, are open 24/7 on our website, thetwig.com. So you can order books off our website, including electronic books. So we try to provide an experience for all those different readers.
So there you have a Kobo, is that?
Yes.
So that is like an electronic version, electronic service? What is that?
Yes, you're going to be hearing a whole lot more about it this fall. There's going to be a nationwide campaign promoting Kobo. And for us, it's our toehold in the 21st century. Kobo provides over 3 million titles worldwide in many different languages. It originally began in Canada. There are electronic readers, Kobo readers, that include everything from a mini to something that's more similar to the Barnes & Noble version, the Nook or the Kindle. But there's also tablets and different forms of a Kobo reader that you can, whatever your desires are, there it's there. But the books, the content, you can get from the website, and the readers you can buy in the store. So
I would imagine it's good to have competition. You know, we've already seen price fixing allegations, or even more than that, in the publishing world on the e-book business. And is there an e-book outlet for Half Price?
Well, we've talked about it, and we've talked about doing something, and we've met with Kobo different times to see if we want to go that route. And at this time, we haven't. We do have our website that we sell through our marketplace, where we have 20,000 independent sellers from all over the world basically listing their books through the marketplace and through our website.
But you're having to find ways to evolve, and you're exploring everything. You can't be complacent. We're going to continue this conversation. We're talking about the future of the book and the future of the local bookstore. We want to hear from you, our listeners. I'm sure there's a lot of readers out there, and you've got something to say about it. Give us a call. What are your preferences? 614-8980. 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We will be right back. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the future of the book and the future of the local bookstore. I'm old enough to remember Brock's downtown, you know, almost going in there.
Rosengren's.
Yeah. And being able to explore the stacks and find interesting things. I did that this weekend when I was at Half Price Books. I found a book that I probably never would have stumbled across online about the reconstruction of the conservative movement after Goldwater's loss to LBJ. And so this is fascinating. It's something I should know more about. And so I bought the book. I never would have come across it. So give us a call. We want to hear what our listeners have to say about the future of the local bookstore and books, and what do you want to see happen. Let's go to the phones right now. Mel is on the line. Mel, welcome to The Source.
Hi. Thanks for the topic. It is so interesting. My husband and I were just talking about this, and he had two e-readers and convinced me that he needed two and would not ever buy a book again. However, did not happen. So I love what that woman online or on your show was saying about people have kind of a duality use, that they do both. My husband totally does both. He is very much supporting physical books. He loves books. He likes the way they smell. He likes the way they feel. And he typically buys books to read as well as books to learn, like new programs. And he prefers books when he's learning something because he can have the book open while he's trying to learn something on the computer. He finds it a lot easier than trying to flip back and forth through pages or screens on the computer. But I just want to say thanks for the topic because it's really awesome. And my husband is the prime example of why bookstores will not go out of business as long as there's physical books.
Okay.
Thank you, Mel. People are celebrating your habits and your husband's reading habits. So Kathy Doyle Thomas, Executive Vice President of Half Price Books, what are you doing to try to make sure that people never fall out of love with the actual handheld page book?
Well, I think we're doing the same thing as other, you know, independent bookstores are. We are making our bookstores an enjoyable place to shop. I mean, we've actually broadened our merchandise. I mean, that's why we started carrying New York Times bestsellers. We're doing a lot more non-book items because when people are in there, we want them to, like, shop us and be able to discover new authors as well as getting some great stationery or, you know, blank books and some. I mean, we haven't gone crazy starting carrying weird stuff like other places, but we have kind of brought.
You're not Hot Topic yet.
No, I mean, and that's what's so amazing. The book buyer is intelligent, well-read, you know, higher income. I mean, all of that, and they get it. They, you know, people that come to our store are pretty savvy, and we want them to come in and we want them to be inspired to, you know, get a new hobby or to discover a new author. And, I mean, basically I took up cooking Thai food because I was walking around the bookstore and I passed by the cook section and I saw this Thai cookbook and I picked it up and I was looking through it thinking, I could do this. This doesn't look that difficult. So I went and bought all the stuff and now I know how to do it. I mean, I think that's the beauty of bookstores. You get inspired by them. And we have to just, you know, keep coming in, and we want them to come in. But it's tough. I mean, it's tough to get somebody to come in the first time, and then they're usually hooked. But, you know, I mean, the economy is bouncing back, but there's a lot of people there that's not bouncing back as much as people think it is.
And right. When I go and I see the wide selection, a lot of kids, parents, people elderly on fixed income trying to make the most out of what they can. I'm going to go back to the phones. Sonia is on the line. Sonia, welcome to The Source.
Hi, I really enjoyed the discussion and actually thinking about finances. I'm a graduate student and I study literature. And in theory, the idea of ordering my books online is great because, you know, it's just one little device and I can have all the books for all my classes. And I find that sometimes they are a little cheaper than like they are in the bookstore or even Amazon, not always. But I do have to echo what the director of the documentary said in terms of, like, that embodied memory of the book. As a literature student, you know, you have to call up passages, and it's really difficult to do on ebook, even with the keyword searching. So, as much as I would love to just carry one device so my back doesn't hurt with all the books, it's still really difficult to engage in a discussion in class without the physical books.
All right, Sonia, thank you for your call. We appreciate that. I'm kind of a paranoid guy and worry that maybe if everything is electronic and we don't have the physical copy anymore, maybe things could go the way of Fahrenheit 451. You know, it could disappear or they could revise books. You know, as far as I'm concerned, Han shot first. And you can't go back and suddenly make Guido shoot first. It's got to be, it is what the way it was originally intended. So let me ask you, Claudia Maceo, manager of the Twig Bookshop. I mean, I know y'all do more than just sell books. You foster the local literary community. You do a lot with local authors.
We do. We have so many events coming up. And so some of those events are in the store with the authors, and some are off-site even providing books at conferences, conventions, school book fairs, things like that. So there's a lot of the Twig of visible in different places other than the store. But one of the most fun things for me is are the community partnerships and cross promotions that we do. Because we're at Pearl, we all very much care about how we're doing, and we're all locally owned and operated businesses at Pearl, whether it's the restaurants or the other retailers. So we find ways to cross-promote. We meet on a regular basis and brainstorm different things that are coming up, ways that we can all benefit, what we might do to support the other, how we can push that information out. And I think that's a rare way to do business these days, and it's a sheer delight. We genuinely care about the success of one another. For example, I'm having a cookbook author come soon, and the Bakery Cafe is going to have pre-order forms for Day of the Dead Bread, and Melissa Guerra, Tienda de Cocina, is going to have some of her product at the store that also go with that theme. And so we're going to have a whole experience of, it's not just a cookbook signing. So it's that things like that are so easy to do in a place like Pearl with independently owned businesses. But I think that really leads into something I find happening in bookselling all across the country, and that's that buy local movement. It's tipping. There are people who are very aware that for every $100 spent at a locally owned and operated store, that about $45 of that recycles back into the community, where online, there isn't that investment in the community, and people care. San Antonio wasn't as deeply affected as other parts of the country economically, and I think we do care about each other here. I think that's even getting national attention.
But I know that when I go to the Twig, I can find local authors. Typically, there may be signed copies that you will have, and also books specifically about San Antonio and some of our local cultural obsessions that are there on display. So it's not just a bookstore, but it's a curated sample of books.
And there's no algorithm that can replicate that. We listen to our customers, and we do order our books from the publishers with all those. I know I can go through a catalog and say, I know who will buy that book. And so I order that way. We literally are that attentive to our customers. And then there's always the surprises and the discoveries that people make. And I think Kathy was referring to that too. There's who knew that she was going to develop an interest in Thai food? You know, just it's things like that that lead from one thing to another to another.
So Kathy Doyle Thomas over at the Half Price Books, people are worried. You know, we do read about these trends and maybe they're overblown. I mean, how are things going at Half Price Books? You guys are. Are we seeing a challenge, a serious challenge to your model by the electronic books?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, everyone's realistic about books, and you know that there's millions of people that are going online every day and ordering. But we just opened a new store in Austin a couple of months ago, and we have a new store that's opening in Independence, Missouri next week, and we're opening another Chicago store in February. So we are growing, and I think, you know, from our model, we're looking at it where, okay, if some of the percentage of our customers are, going online, then maybe we don't need so many stores in a particular city, and we need to, you know, to grow to new cities or new states. And, I mean, we have 117 stores and growing. We're in 16 states currently. And, you know, a family-run company where we don't grow and don't open unless we can afford it. And we, you know, everything's about the bottom line with us, and we keep it, you know, since it's family-centered, we don't grow unless we can afford it. And I think basically, you know, Borders kind of overextended themselves. Barnes & Noble kind of is overextending themselves. So we're just trying to be real prudent, good business people and, you know, do what we do, be good to our customers and be good to our employees and give back to the community.
And so, but part of the model is people buying books elsewhere or maybe buying them at your place and then reading them or getting tired of them and then bringing them in and selling to you, and then you put them back on the shelf and sell them to somebody else. If people are downloading books, then maybe there's not going to be that surplus of books for you in the future. Is there a shrinking supply problem?
Well, you know what? It's the format of the book that I see the most change, because, you know, pocket-sized paperbacks, that format, and it's basically publishers aren't printing as many, and we see people not bringing in as many. It's because if you're going to download, people are downloading fiction, so that current copy of when it comes out in paperback, James Patterson, then people are not downloading that. So they are downloading them. They're not turning them in and buying the paperback version, which turns around and selling to us. So now that format is called trade paper now. They're the larger format paperbacks, and some books aren't even going to hardback. They're coming out straight in trade paper. So you're seeing the publishers are kind of adapting because of cost and because of demand in how many copies they're printing. And so we're seeing it. There's still more titles than ever being printed. I think last year there was over a million titles, published last year, which is fabulous. But the sad part is all these new authors and are not being discovered because there's just not that many different places for people to find them.
A whole other story to cover, another issue. How is this impacting authors? Kathy Doyle Thomas, Executive Vice President of Half Price Books, thank you for joining us from Dallas. Also in the studio, Claudia Maceos. She's the manager of the Twig Bookshop at the Pearl. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
This is The Source on KSTX. Be back tomorrow.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.